So let's start with Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. And I'm just going to walk through some scripture references and share them with you tonight. And we're going to talk about what is Holy Spirit's role in our prayer life. And if you didn't hear the last two Wednesdays, I think it's worth a listen. It'll be on the website. It's worth a listen. But let's look at Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:18. For through Him, who is Him? Him is Jesus, right? For through Him, we both have access. Let me rearrange this. Ain't by a preposition? Is that right? Somebody that knows your English around here? Let's move that to the end. For through Jesus, we have access unto the Father by one Spirit. So because of Jesus, we got access to the Father. Somebody say amen. Because of Jesus, through Jesus Christ, because of what He did through Him, we have access to the Father. But the vehicle is one Spirit. Do you see this? So if we're going to pray to the Father, it's through Christ, because of Christ, but by the Holy Spirit, we have access to the Father. So you see the Trinity in that verse through access in the Father. So it's Christ, one Spirit. And I wanted to start with that verse, that through Jesus Christ, by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. And in light of that verse, let's stay in the same book. Go to Ephesians chapter number 6. And so remember, this is one letter. Paul has just made that statement in chapter 2, verse 18, that by one Spirit, through Jesus, by one Spirit, we have access to the Father. And then you look at Ephesians 6, 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always. Somebody say always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. So I really believe Paul is in some ways elaborating in chapter 6, verse 18, what he was referring to from chapter 2, verse 18. One of the ways we access God is through prayer. And let's look at these words together. Praying always, always. So I want you to don't miss this, that praying always, praying should be a way of life. Do you see that? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance of supplication for all saints. So prayer is to be a way of life. Holy Spirit's a vehicle in which we operate and carry out prayer. And so praying always with all prayer and supplication. You remember we taught earlier the word prayer. The Greek word is prosukes, remember? And so if you break down that word, prosukes, remember pro means toward. And sukes is an exchange of wishes. You remember me saying that prayer ain't just about you telling God what you need or what you want, but it is an exchange. It's an exchange between you and the Lord. You see that in the Lord's Prayer. You see the exchange that when Jesus talks to the Father, there's the exchange of what the Father wants, Jesus wanting what the Father wants, and then the Father giving Jesus what He needs, you know. So we go to the Father and we press into what it is that the Father wants, His desires, His kingdom, His will. And then we get to the point where we're talking about what we need, what God wants to do in us. So you see, one thing about prayer, it's a two-way street. I've said before that prayer ain't about just you being a voice to God, but it's also you listen to a voice back. So your kingdom come, your will be done. When we approach God in prayer, we're wanting to know who He is, His wishes, His desires, and then also you see the intimacy between what God wants, what He wills, what He desires, and what we need, what our needs are, and what we desire. And so it's the same in any relationship, right? If you're going to communicate with somebody, it ain't just about what you want, and it ain't just about what you feel. It's an exchange between the two. So you see the word prayer, prosukes, is an exchange toward, and then the word supplication is deesis, and that is a deep petition. That is a deep inward, God, this is what I need. So praying always with all prayer, with an exchange of wishes, an exchange between the two, and a deep petition in the Spirit. So we're supposed to access God through the one reason why we've got Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit helps us access this relationship with the Father. Amen? He helps us. If we're going to pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's how we're going to learn what it is that God desires, what He wills, and that's where we know what our need is before the Lord. Holy Spirit, He guides us in prayer, okay? We need to be aware of Holy Spirit when we pray. So one role He prays, and we're going to get more specific into this, is that Holy Spirit is to help us in this exchange between us and God with our desires and our wills and our needs and what's going on between the Father and us. Holy Spirit, He walks us through that. In the Bible, Paul teaches that we are to pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. And so I thought about this. So if you see this word, in the Spirit, praying, prosukes, this word of this exchange, it reminds me of Romans chapter 9, verse 1. Let's turn here and look at this. This is amazing to me. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. This Greek word for conscious is sunadesis. Now the prefix is sun, and that means to be with. Adesis is ado, and that means to see. And so he speaks about his conscious in his the relationship of Holy Spirit and his conscience. He says, Holy Spirit bears witness with my conscience. In other words, that when I'm in the Spirit, Holy Spirit helps me to see the way He wants me to see. Paul could trust his conscience because in his conscience, as he's in the Spirit, Holy Spirit's helping Paul to see and to perceive the way that Holy Spirit wants him to perceive. So if you are filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, you can trust your conscience. Because your conscience is the Holy Spirit helping you see and perceive the way Holy Spirit wants you to perceive. So in prayer, we've got to be in the Spirit because Holy Spirit, He helps us. He helps us with the right perspective in life, the right perspective in spiritual things, spiritual matters, our walk in the Lord. He helps us not to be carnally minded and to think naturally. Holy Spirit helps us perceive. And when we are in Him, He begins to operate in our conscience and show us. And so it's important that when we pray, that Holy Spirit is the vehicle that gets us there, that guides us, maneuvers us through prayer life. There's so many references. You won't find one reference to anybody praying to the Holy Spirit necessarily, but there are so many references that we're to be praying in the Spirit, in the Spirit. Why? Because by the Spirit, we access the Father, right? That in the Spirit, we exchange the wishes and the desires between God. He helps us with deep petitions. What's deep inside? The word supplication, deep petition. How many of you know Holy Spirit knows the inside of you better than you do? He knows what you need more than you know what you need. So a deep petition is Holy Spirit helping you perceive what it is that you deeply need. Amen? How many of you know that some things we think we need, that's just me thinking I need it? And that's different than what Holy Spirit thinks I need. And it's one thing for me to pray to God based off what I think I need, and it's a whole other thing for me to be praying in the Spirit and Holy Spirit helping me to perceive in my conscience and helping me access the Father and Him showing me what my deep petition is, what it is that I really need. He helps me understand the wishes of the Father, and He also teaches me how to express what's inside of me to the Father. I'm going to keep making these points. Holy Spirit helps you express your inner man. Somebody say amen. Am I the only one that sometimes you get in the presence of the Lord and you don't even know what to say? You're just at a blank. You know you're in the right place. You know you need to be there. You feel it, but you don't even know. Sometimes you struggle to say what it is that you need to say. I want you to understand that's normal. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. He helps you. He helps you pray. And let me just say this. If prayer is not just about petitioning, right? It's not just about asking God. It's not just about even seeking what it is that God wants. There's an element of prayer that is worship and praise. Amen? Anybody ever express praise and worship through prayer? Let me remind you that even Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 21, the Bible says Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Even Jesus rejoiced to his Father through the Holy Spirit. Maybe one reason why we struggle to rejoice in our prayer life is because we're not praying in the Spirit. If you look back over your prayer life, if you're like me, sometimes you can look back over a week of prayer and you find that there wasn't a whole lot of rejoicing in that prayer. I want you to understand that a part of prayer, there should be the element of thankfulness, joy, and rejoicing. If that's missing, then your prayer life ain't right. Now, there's a part of prayer in which you're receiving of the Lord and understanding what it is that He wills, what He desires, what glorifies Him. There's a part of prayer in which Holy Spirit's searching your inward man, showing you what it is that you need, helping you express that to God. But there's also an element of prayer in which you are thankful and you're joyful and you worship and praise in prayer. And if Jesus rejoiced to the Father through the Holy Spirit, don't you think that you and I need the Holy Spirit to rejoice to the Father? I think the reference is to praying in the Spirit. I think that you cannot pray in the Spirit without being aware of the presence of the Spirit. Does anybody agree with me on that? Have you ever just went into a prayer closet and it was dry and you knew it was just you, but if you look back on it, part of that time when you was praying, you never did acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit while you was there? How many church folk goes to pray to the Lord, and before they do, they never even acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit? It's hard for you to pray in the Spirit if you ain't even acknowledging that He's anywhere near you. And when we fail to acknowledge Him in our prayer life and let Him guide us through prayer, lead us in prayer, then what we will fail to do is rejoice before the Father through prayer, because it's through the Holy Spirit that we rejoice before the Father. And it's through the Holy Spirit that He gives us perspective in our conscience to see the way we need to see what our deep inner petition is, because He searches us. So Holy Spirit has a prominent role in prayer. Somebody say amen. Let me show you Acts real quick. Acts chapter 19, verse 21. Acts chapter 19, verse 21. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Let me just say this about Holy Spirit as well. He helped right there. Paul made his decision. He purposed in the Spirit. Let me translate that an easier way to understand. He made his decision in the Spirit. How many of you know that when you're praying in the Spirit, He's going to help you make the right decisions? A lot of you go, you make the decisions based off how you were raised and your knowledge and what you desire and what you want. And instead of praying in the Spirit and letting Him help you decide, He plays such a prominent role in prayer that has everything to do with your life. You ever been around hyper-spiritual people? That's what you called them. Because they's like, well, I decided on what I'd eat for lunch today, and I began to commune with the Lord. And I'm thinking, I just go eat what I want. You know what I mean? But you get people like that, and I sit back and call them hyper-spiritual. But they're on to something. They're on to something because they use prayer to make everyday decisions. And you can call that hyper-spiritual. You can call it radical. Call it whatever you want. But Paul, he made his decisions through the Spirit. And it's Paul that gives us all these scriptures about being in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit. If you use language in a charismatic setting and you say praying in the Spirit, they're just going to talk about tongues. That's all they're going to talk about is tongues. And that's probably, to me, the least emphasized aspect of praying in Spirit in the Bible. There's so many other references to praying in the Spirit that is clearly emphasized even over and over. If Holy Spirit, he gives us perspective and guides our conscience. He helps us make decisions. He helps us search our inward man. He helps us understand deep cries out to deep. How does deep cry out to deep? The depths of the heart of God and the depths of my heart, it ain't going to come together without the Holy Spirit. He helps me see what is in the depths of God. He helps me see what's in the depths of me. And through the Holy Spirit, we have that exchange, prosukes, right? Holy Spirit, he helps us in prayer. Let me show you this, Jude 1:20. Jude 1:20. All my life, if you hear this one, because I grew up in the Church of God, that this automatically means praying in tongues. Automatically means praying in tongues. I submit to you that this is not the passage that refers to praying in tongues. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. All I've ever heard is pray in tongues and it'll edify your faith. Well, I'm sorry, but that text does not say that. It don't say praying in tongues builds up your most holy faith. It says praying in the Spirit. And the minute that you say that praying in the Spirit is the exact same thing as praying in tongues, then you have minimized and narrow-mindedly come to the conclusion of what prayer is. Because it is more than that. I'm going to make reference to praying in tongues in a little bit, but there's more than just praying in tongues. Because praying in tongues, Paul will say that he prays in a tongue, but his mind don't understand. Well, I'm learning that there's places where the Holy Spirit, he gives your mind understanding what you can't naturally understand. He helps you perceive what you would never perceive naturally. He helps you understand what in the depths of you that you couldn't search out on your own. He gives you great understanding that you take before the presence of the Lord. And so to say that just praying in tongues is what builds up your most holy faith, that is to take that scripture out of context, because there are so much more to praying in the Spirit than praying in tongues. Praying in the Spirit causes deep to cry out to deep. It searches the deep things of God. It searches the deep things of yourself. It shows it is what you're really, what your greatest petition in the inner part of you is. He lines up perspective in your conscience. So many things that praying in the Spirit does. And through that, we find that it builds up faith. It builds up, it edifies us. It strengthens our faith when Holy Spirit navigates us in prayer. To not just praying in tongues, but when Holy Spirit is your tutor and your guide and he leads you and walks you through prayer, it builds up your faith. And some of us goes and prays to the Lord and never even acknowledge his presence. Never even acknowledge the presence. Now, you got to remember, did Jesus not say, I'll send you a comforter? Did he not say that he will lead you, he will guide you, he will teach you, he won't speak of himself, he will only speak of what of me and the Father, and he'll only show you you go through John and that discourse there. And so Holy Spirit is so intimately acquainted with you, communing with you, how is it then that we would not even acknowledge him? Holy Spirit, his role in prayer is that he leads you, he navigates you, he teaches you how to think, how to approach it. In every detail in prayer, Holy Spirit's walking you through it. And we've got to acknowledge him when we do it. Let me go on a little further and share with you probably the verse that most of you was waiting on me to get to. If you go to Romans, Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Okay, Holy Spirit. Now, what does Jesus say? Our Father which art in heaven. That's the way Jesus prayed, right? Our Father which art in heaven. Do you see where Holy Spirit inside of you is paralleling and echoing how the way Jesus prayed to his Father? You see that? Jesus cried, Father. He prayed to Father, right? And Holy Spirit inside of you is crying out, Father. So when we approach the Father in prayer through the Son, Holy Spirit is teaching us to pray in the same language that Jesus prayed in, and that is Abba, Father. Maybe if you don't approach Him in prayer as if He's your daddy, maybe it's because you've not let Holy Spirit guide you in it. Because if Holy Spirit guides you in prayer, He's going to cry, Abba, Father, inside of you. Remember, He searches the deep things inside of us. It's the deep petitions that Holy Spirit, that supplication, that's what He does, our greatest need, and our greatest need is relationship with the Father. Are y'all with me? Is my hand on my head disturbing y'all that bad, or are y'all hearing this? He cries, Father. Abba, Father. We've received the Spirit that cries, Abba, Father. When Jesus prayed, He began with Father. So that fatherly son relationship that is to be experienced in prayer, Holy Spirit was sent to you to carry that out inside of you. And if you don't acknowledge Him and let Him lead you through prayer, then you're never going to get to that place where prayer is about you building relationship with your Father. It's not going to feel organic. It's not going to feel real and natural in your spirit if Holy Spirit ain't leading you through it. That's what He does. He teaches you how to cry, Father. Inside of you, He's crying out on your behalf. And so you see this in Romans 8. Let's go a little further. Verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He's teaching us on the inside. He's bearing witness. He's saying, you are a son. Stanton, you are a son. He's doing it in my spirit. Stanton, you are a son of the Father. And you talk to Him as if He's your Father. Holy Spirit was sent to work that out in you. How can we pray without the Holy Spirit? How can you have that right relationship in prayer with the Father without the Holy Spirit? God knew you needed the Holy Ghost to teach you how to be a son and a daughter. That you needed Him to teach you how to pray the language that Jesus prayed. And that language is understanding. There's understanding in that, right? Holy Spirit wants you to understand the relationship with the Father in prayer. Praying in tongues, there is no understanding in the mind. He just prays for you. And why would we exalt that as the greatest form of prayer? It's not the way Jesus talked to His Father. He prayed with great relational understanding. So you mean to tell me that your faith is built up more when Holy Spirit's praying on your behalf and you don't even know what's going on than when you're having intimate dialogue with the Father of heaven and Holy Spirit is navigating you through the purity of intimacy through communication with your Father? Which one would you think would build up your faith the most? Obviously that. So, Holy Spirit, He teaches you how to cry, Father, inside of you. We need Him in prayer because He teaches us how to talk to the Father in an organic way. Let's keep going. Verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Not only inside are we crying, Father, we're also groaning for redemption. Holy Spirit, one thing He'll do inside of you, He'll be a voice in you. He'll be a voice in you that'll teach you how to pray to the Father. And so you see, number one, you cry, Abba, Father. Number two, you're crying out for redemption. It says the whole world is groaning for the redemption. And then it says, in you, you've received the first fruits of the Holy Spirit. And what is He going to cry inside of you? Redemption. If the church is not focused on salvation and the coming redemption of the Lord, it's because we've neglected Holy Spirit in our prayer life. The church ought to anticipate the fullness of His glory and the fullness of redemption. We ought to anticipate that. We ought to long for it. Paul looked for it. He eagerly anticipated the redemption of the Lord, the coming of the Lord. He wanted it so bad. Do you know why he wanted that? Because Holy Spirit was crying that inside of him. And so Holy Spirit, he lines us up. The first fruits of the Holy Spirit, He's bearing witness in our spirit, and He is calibrating us and lining us up with the right relationship to the Father through prayer, the right perspective inside of us to Him regarding redemption and salvation and what it is that Jesus is doing in the last days. We've got to have Holy Spirit to navigate us through prayer. Somebody say amen. Now let's go a little further. Same chapter 8. Let's go down to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Helpeth our infirmities. The word help here is a long word in the Greek. I'm going to try to say it. Sun ati lambamahi. Okay. Now, again, sun is with. Lambano, the root word, means to aggressively lay your hands on. Holy Spirit helps you. Now it says twice in these two verses. Let's read it again. I'm going to come back to that. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I mean, this is just carrying out everything I've said thus far. He's teaching us the will of God. He searches out the will of God. He searches out the deep things of God. And not only that, he helps your infirmities. He intercedes for you. You've heard me say before that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for you, right? Holy Spirit's inside of you interceding for you. We have no reason at all not to have a good prayer life with the Father when Jesus is at the right hand interceding and Holy Ghost is in my inward man interceding. And the only reason you wouldn't have a good prayer life as a believer is if you neglect Holy Spirit in your prayer life and you don't receive the intercession that he's making for you. You don't let him. You don't acknowledge the intercession that he's doing on your behalf. And obviously, if you don't understand that Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father, ever waiting to make intercession for you, man, you ought to wake up in the morning and can't wait to pray, because Holy Spirit, he's already two steps ahead of you. He's nudging you. Cry out to the Father. Cry out for redemption. I'm already working on what it is that you're dealing with. I'm already helping you now. So you just go to the Father in prayer. Lambano, it says that the prefix is soon. It means to come along with. Lambano means to lay hold of. He's making intercession. He helps in our infirmities. So that word help in infirmities, the word for infirmity is frailty or weakness. It can even be sickness. So it carries the picture. This is the word picture, that I'm struggling to carry something that is heavy, and I feel my weakness because whatever it is I carry is bigger than what I can carry, so I'm made aware of my weakness. And what Holy Spirit does, he comes along and aggressively lays hold of whatever it is that you're trying to carry, and he helps carry the weight. Some of you saying things like this, that the Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't feel like you're helping me. I'll tell you this right now. If Holy Spirit let go of the weight you was carrying, you would then realize how much he is helping you. Somebody say amen. I know right now what I feel inside of me, but according to this verse, I know that whatever weight I'm bearing, Holy Spirit, he's carrying a bulk of that weight right now. Right now, he's carrying a bulk of the... He sees my infirmity, and he comes alongside, and aggressively, he begins to carry the weight for me. He carries the weight. He carries what I can't carry. And as he does that, he's interceding on your behalf. He knows what the will of the Father is, and he knows what it is that you need. He's going out, and he's working on your behalf, right? That's what the word intercede means, and I really learned something today in this word intercession. This is amazing. And tonkao is the word for intercede, and it does mean to go and meet or to light upon. So it means to go out and meet. The idea is this. When I pray, Jesus, who intercedes for me, he goes to the Father on my behalf, right? He's going to meet the Father on my behalf, and he's coming to meet me on the Father's behalf. Jesus, he's the mediator, right? And what's Holy Spirit doing? He's going out meeting my problems on my behalf, and he's going to the Son and the Father on my behalf, and he's coming back to me on their behalf. Do you understand that? How would you, how could we pray without the Holy Spirit when He's going out on our behalf to the Father and the Son and our problems, and then He's coming back to us on behalf of the Father and the Son? Do you see how the Trinity's working here? Holy Spirit, He's assigned, and He's running back and forth, from me and my need to the Father and to the Son, and from the Father into the Son, back to me and what it is that they want me to know and who they are. He goes back and forth between us. He intercedes on our behalf. Now, let me take it one step further, and this really ain't got as much to do with prayer. Well, it does. It does. But this word intercede also means to obtain by hitting the bullseye. Now, I've never heard this taught. Never have I heard this taught. This Greek word in Koine Greek for intercede is the antonym for hamartia, the Greek word hamartia. So let me explain this. Everybody knows the verse, all have sinned. What, Romans 3:23? All have sinned. Right? What's the rest of the verse? Because nobody ever quotes the rest of the verse. Come short of the glory. Somebody say glory. Glory. This is good. This is what I'm about to tell you is good. All have sinned hamartia. Do you know what hamartia means? Hamartia, it is an archery term. It means to miss the bullseye. This is good right here. I still don't know what to do with it. I'll let y'all put it together. Okay. Sin means to miss the bullseye. Not miss the target, miss the bullseye. Anything that's not the bullseye is sin. Now, that's pretty high standard, ain't it? Like, you can get real close to the bullseye and be a good shot and still miss the bullseye. If you don't hit the bullseye in your life, you will miss the glory of God. All have missed the bullseye, and because they miss the bullseye, they fall short. They never obtain God's glory because they miss the bullseye. Somebody say perfection. Who hit the bullseye? Oh, this is good. Hamartia in the Greek is the antonym for intercession. That means if sin means to miss the bullseye, intercession means to hit the bullseye. So, who hit the bullseye when I couldn't? Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He ever lives to make intercession for me. I couldn't hit the bullseye. He hit the bullseye. That's why on Calvary, Jesus hit the bullseye. Perfection, holy, righteous, blameless, without blemish. He hit the bullseye. No matter how good of a man I am, I would fall short, I would miss the bullseye. And no matter how good of a person I was, I could not hit the bullseye, and I would always miss out on God's glory. So Jesus comes, He hits the bullseye, and therefore He glorifies the Father, and the Father glorifies the Son. Right? And He hits the bullseye for me. And what Holy Spirit does, He intercedes. What is He doing? He's obtaining the glory by hitting the bullseye. In other words, intercession. When you track it through Romans, this is through Romans, from Romans 3. Look, what's Romans 8 about? Let's look. Let me show you this. Romans 8, if you start in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let's go a little further. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. The suffering, somebody say suffering. The suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, somebody say glory, the glory which shall be revealed in us. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Romans 8:1, for those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation. And even though we suffer, there's a glory that awaits us. Well, it just said in Romans 23 that we all fell short of the glory of God. We missed the bullseye, we fell short, but Jesus hit the bullseye. And even though we suffer, Holy Spirit, He is helping our infirmities. He's helping us in our suffering, but also He is bringing us to the glory. He intercedes for us. He's bringing us to the glory of God. And so I said all that to say this. Jesus, he did the redemptive work. He did the justification. He did the atonement. He was righteous for me. And now, Holy Spirit, he brings me to the glory that's shared between the Father and Son and will soon be revealed in me. That's what he does. And the way Holy Spirit does it, he helps with my infirmities. And along the same lines, he's teaching me how to pray. He's teaching me the glory that's in the Father, what's in the heart of God. He's teaching me what's in my heart. He's lining up my perspective, and he is helping me in every facet of my life through prayer to obtain the glory that I once could not obtain because I was a sinner. So Holy Spirit, and I know that is deep and that's heavy, but the glory you could not obtain in Romans 3:23, by the time you get to Romans 8, we find that Jesus did the redemptive work. He hit the bullseye for us. And Holy Spirit, he is practically carrying out in our walk of faith, the obtaining of the glory of God. And that's why Paul says in Corinthians 3 that as we behold the Son of God, as we behold his glory, we're being transformed into the image of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, right? Is that 1 Corinthians 3:18? So Holy Spirit, the work of Holy Spirit is that we're to behold the glory of God and be transformed into the image of the Son. So Holy Spirit, the word intercession is the antonym for hamartia. Intercession also means to obtain by hitting the bullseye. When the word hamartia, sin, means to miss the bullseye. Holy Spirit, God give him to you. God referred to him as a gift. He's a gift to you because he knows you better than you know you. He's dealing with your problems even when you think he ain't. And he knows what's in the heart of God. He's bearing witness with your spirit. He's teaching you how to talk to the Father, how to cry to Abba. He's teaching you how to cry out for redemption. He's bringing you to the glory of the Father. He's strengthening your faith so that you're able to get there. All this through praying in the Holy Spirit. I submit to you this. You can't have a prayer life. There is no prayer if there is no Father. But you couldn't commune with the Father if there was not Jesus. But you also can't receive and experience what is meant to be received and experienced in prayer apart from the Holy Ghost. So when we pray, the triune Godhead, every person of the Trinity, we have to be aware and acknowledge their role in prayer. The goal is to glorify the Father, to receive the glory of the Father, to know the Father, to build relationship with the Father, made possible by the Son. He's the mediator between God and man. Jesus is the atmosphere of prayer. He is the prayer closet. He is the place we go. He is the secret place that the psalmist talks about. Jesus is. He's the mediator. He is the Holy of Holies, right? I mean, he tears the veil in two. But Holy Spirit is assigned to us to get us there. He walks us through it day by day, minute by minute, thought by thought, feeling by feeling, problem by problem. Holy Spirit practically is assigned to walk it out every second of the day. We've got to have the Holy Spirit in our prayer life. We have to acknowledge him. We have to yield to him. We have to listen. We have to let him govern the way we perceive. So the next time you pray, know that the objective is to commune with the Father, made possible by the Son, Jesus Christ, and that it's Holy Spirit that's going to get you there. He's the one that's going to walk you through it. And now you get to praying in tongues. Do I believe in praying in tongues? I absolutely believe in praying in tongues. I just don't emphasize it above. I've not made that the end all of praying, like the church setting I grew up in. I was always taught that the most true prayer looks nothing like what Jesus did. It's praying in a tongue that you can't even understand with your mind. And that is not, we've marked praying in tongues, those who pray in tongues in charismatic setting, as the most mature believers. I would submit to you, it's the opposite. Jesus said, Paul even says it would be better to say just a few words with understanding. He says it in the same context. So 1 Corinthians 14:14, he speaks of praying in tongues. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do it, but I'm saying that it's not what we've been taught. Because the idea, the perfect idea of prayer is the work of the Holy Spirit's full effect in our life, bringing the revelation and the perspective and helping us understand who we are and who God is, and Him walking us through it practically every day of our life, where there is a heavy awareness of the relationship I have with the Father and what His will is, what His desire is, and who I am when I don't even know who I am. That's Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will teach you more about you than what you'll ever teach yourself. I told you before, I would have never married Brandy apart from Holy Spirit. I was standing by a light pole praying, acknowledging Him, and I'll never forget, she's the one I choose, Stetton. I'm bearing witness with your spirit. And He began to teach me every reason why she was the woman of my dreams. But it happened in a moment, standing in the yard by a light pole in prayer. When praying in a tongue, I had clear understanding. Holy Spirit was teaching me every way that God used her to help me be the man that God was making me be. I began to see all these things because I acknowledged Him in my prayer life. You know, people usually don't get married. You know, it's a big decision. You want to pray about that. And I just began to acknowledge Holy Spirit and yield to Him. And He began to show me and teach me things about me and what God wanted. And He got so intimately involved in that decision in my life that has impacted me in the most positive way, right? He must be included in our prayer life. He's got to be included in our prayer life. And there is moments in the body, I believe, where there is the gift of a spirit, of the Spirit, praying in tongues. And it is for a specific need that you may never know that is in that body. And that's not the ultimate form of prayer, but it is a need that's in the body at times. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 14:14, right? But the perfect idea of prayer is the intimacy and how acquainted Holy Spirit, how involved He is in your everyday life and everything that you feel. Every problem you got, everything that's deep inside of you that you can't even see, through your conscience, through your decisions, through every part of your life, and showing you the deep things of God, Holy Spirit, bringing you to the glory, that was what He's assigned to do through prayer. Even His comfort that He brings, the teaching that He brings, the guidance that He brings, the Him showing you what the Father wants you to see, I believe that takes place within prayer. Within prayer, with communion with God, Holy Spirit navigates you through all that. He teaches you how to rejoice to the Father. So, Holy Spirit, the part three is we've got to utilize the gift God has given us, and that is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So next time you get alone to pray, understand the end all is relation with the Father, but the way you're going to get there, the way it's going to start, is through Holy Spirit helping you in prayer. Acknowledge Him. Be prepared for Him to teach you, to show you, to guide you, to cry out on your behalf to the Father. Be open and submissive to that, the work of the Holy Spirit in your life when you enter prayer. Man, a lot of times we just lackadaisically bebop into prayer like it ain't nothing, when it is a holy and a reverent and a beautiful and a gorgeous thing to do. When we take every person into account that's in the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I really think we have certainly minimized what prayer is. And many times we fell short in what it's supposed to be because we've not acknowledged the Holy Spirit. We've not been aware of the work of Christ in prayer, and we've not understood that prayer itself is about knowing the Father and the Father doing in you what He set out to do. And part of that's meet your needs.